Blog Talk Radio.
Fire Sports!
This is an unlawful gathering. The truth is out there.
This is the underground. This is New Media. This is the underground. This is New Media.
Ranger fans, remember what's the critical thinking hanger? Ranger fans, remember what's the critical thinking hanger?
And now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers.
This is New York Rangers hockey.
Eddie, we sat here all gloom and doom, burying the 2013 New York Rangers and lamenting the fact that John Tortorella was expected by everyone to be back as coach of the New York Rangers. Well, you could take last night's show and fired. He's gone, Eddie. The clouds have lifted. Bring on the 2013-14 season. How are you?
I'm pleased as punch. I'm excited. You're right. The clouds have parted. Let the sunshine in. It's the age of Aquarius. I mean, I feel like I have been re-energized that I do not have to watch defensive hockey, that I may actually see offense up and down, a power play that works. And I'm not scared, folks. I know a lot of you guys out there are scared. Don't worry. It can't get any worse. Now, I may regret saying that, but as far as a joy factor or a joyless factor, I cannot see it getting any worse. That this tyrant has been disposed of. And we'll talk about some of the candidates. We'll get down to the official press conference where there was about six reporters doing it, asking the same questions for 40 minutes since nobody cares about hockey in the New York City area.
Yeah, but to that point, jumped in my truck at lunchtime, queued up what is this app I got on my Fakakta phone here that Nick Tertilli gave me? Something radio, something or other. Tune in radio.
Okay.
I dial it up. I put the fan on. 8 minutes of commercials. And then there's that fat fucks Francesa talking about the Yankees. The Yankees? Who cares? I want to hear about the Rangers. So that's why this show is here. That's why we are live on the air. sending John Tortorella off into the sunset like Audie Murphy and Gabby Hayes and Walter Brennan. Take us away, Eddie.
Well, I have to tell you, the phone calls flooded my house. I thought someone had died, a close relative had died. There were so many messages on my machine when I got home. I got the I told you so's and the Ricky Itazus. I got the, oh, my God, I can't. Oh, yeah, Ricky is going to be here. He only shows up when the I told you so's come up. But I tell you, he's been right on about a couple things down the line. So, you know, I give the man his props, even though he doesn't have a clue when it comes to Henrik Lundqvist. You just got to forgive him and move on. So, it was a shocker. It was a question that I asked yesterday, and I got no from everybody. I said, would he be fired by it? Could he be fired? Everyone said, no, Eddie, no. He would have been fired already. And lo and behold, we get Christmas comes early, and we're done with this guy. And hopefully he'll be done with his assistant coach, Mike Sullivan, when they have an organizational meeting. Love to be in that one. John Tortorella.
Organizational meeting.
Yeah, really. So what I think we should do is we should dive right in to the all the music's so loud on this station. I don't know what it is.
For some reason, I can't adjust the volume on that.
Oh, that's a shocker on Blog Talk Radio.
I know. This is usually such a well-working system.
The worst way to transmit signal in the universe, Blog Talk Radio. So I would like, Eddie Layton playing a little celebratory music in the background. No,
it's so loud.
I don't like
your background.
No, it's not that loud. It wasn't, you know, maybe to you. But anyway, can I speak here? Or are we going to do some music check the whole show?
Go ahead.
Okay. As he puts the music on in the background. I think we should go right to the Glenn Sather conference call. It's going to be about 4 minutes. It's going to go about 4 minutes. We'll all listen to it. I kind of edited all the pertinent stuff that I thought that we would be interested in. The thing went on for like 30 minutes, but, you know, ridiculous questions were asked. They were all popping out of the woodwork. Bruce Beck was even there. I mean, it was like, you know, who's next? I was waiting for Gordon and Chadwick to pop out of their caskets. But let's listen to this. Let's listen to the conference call. Let's imbibe it. It's 4 minutes long. I know that's a little bit long, but not everybody got a chance to hear it. And, you know, how many times has the pontiff, Sather, come down and actually talk to anybody? You know, this is, we save all this stuff for the archives. You know.
Well, it's not like he's in the same room. He's on the phone. You know, he's like in a secure location. It reminds me of Demolition Man when they're talking at all the TV screens. You know, that's the way it is. Like the Avengers, Nick Fury talking all that.
Yeah. So let's Uncle Slappy. Uncle Slappy. All right, let's see what he's got to say here. Let me just... All right, here we go.
Our next question comes from a line of Bruce Beck of WNBC TV.
Bruce Beck.
Hi, Glenn.
Hello.
Hey, Glenn, how much did Henrik Lundqvist not openly endorsing torts have to do with this decision?
It didn't have anything to do with it. We plan on signing Henrik to a long-term contract, and, I'm not going to make any public comments about the negotiations, when and how they're going to take place, but they had nothing to do with this. This was a decision that I made.
Bullshit.
And just to follow up, you mentioned that you thought Chris Kreider played very well in Boston. You mentioned you're not going to get into individual things, but you did mention that some young kids need time to develop. Was, Torch's inability to integrate some of the young kids at a consistent basis like Chris and JT one of the issues?
Well, you have to remember that JT was out for the last month with a bad wrist, or he probably would have been playing in the playoffs for us. But, individual players take different needs, and sometimes you can push them into getting to where you want them to be. Sometimes you can't. You just have to be able to analyze it and hope you make the right decision. And as I said before, Chris is going to be a good player, and he's going to develop at his own pace.
Our next question comes from Andrew Gross of The Record.
Hey, Glenn. Just getting back to Richards for a second, when a decision like that is made to scratch a guy like that, is that something that John does on his own, or does he come to you and the Rangers brass in general and say, this is what I think should happen?
Yeah, it was an organizational decision, and it was made in conjunction with the rest of us.
Okay. And I don't know if maybe this is the right or the wrong time, but since we're talking to you, there's been a, you know, I don't know whether you've discussed or thought about your own future with the team, whether, you know, this might be a season or an off season to kind of, you know, to think about your future. But, if you know, as far as you know, are you going to continue to hold on to all the roles, or might there be a change made that way?
Well, I don't know what you're talking about, all the roles. I don't sharpen skates here. I've given that role up. And
well, specifically, I mean, you're president and GM, and I'm just wondering whether you're going to continue as GM for next season.
Checking green over here.
Yes, I am.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from one of Jack Klein of New York Times.
Yeah, hey again, Glenn. You know, without commenting specifically on John Tortorella, the next coach you have, would it be important for him to have a good relationship with the press, or is that just completely not a factor in how you hire a coach?
Well, as I said, I don't want to get into any specifics, but I think in dealing with the press, I mean, it's important that you have a relationship. Whether it's good or bad, I mean, it's a factor of sports in the modern world today that we all have to deal with speaking to you fellows, and I think some people relish the opportunity to speak their mind, and some people are a little more reserved about it. But, you know, that's an individual choice, and like I said before, I'm not going to get into any specifics about things that happened or didn't happen. I just think in general that's part of the world of professional sports today.
Now, there you go. Our fearless leader. Our clueless leader.
Yeah, I'm clueless more like it. Jesus Christ.
But he did address, now, you know he's not going to give any answers, because they just don't want to give answers. Everything is is shrouded in mystery. So we know we're not going to get any answers, but there were questions and intelligent questions asked there that maybe you could read between the lines. The first one was about Henrik. Now, Jim and the chat room and everybody out there, do you think Henrik's decision of staying here, you know, his contract's up after after the 2013-2014 season, do you think that played any role in it?
Absolutely. I think from what I have read between Larry Brooks and a few other things that I read, I think Elliot Friedman had it as well. You know, exit interviews are done with the players, not just with the head coach. And it sounds like some of those exit interviews with players were not very flattering of the head coach. And I think that's when the decision was made. I honestly... Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm being naive. But I honestly think that Saturday afternoon when that game ended, there was a good chance John Tortorella was keeping his job. But between the exit interviews and then Hank's comments, I think that was the come-to-Jesus moment, as we like to call it. And the old man woke up, lit his cigar, took his meds, and said, I got to go fire the coach.
Yeah, because, you know, Sather denies that. But, you know, listen, I think it may have played a part.
Oh, my God.
it may have played a part. A lot of the chat room certainly thinks that's what happened. But Ricky Itazu will be on. He broke the story a couple of days ago. Torts left crying. I don't know what happened. He's got a whole thing. I can't wait to hear what he has to say. The second thing he addressed was the almost, I think it was Andrew Gross. No, maybe it's one of the other wackos that called in, talking about Kreider and the young guys. He was almost insinuating that Tortorella hadn't really handled the young guys right. And Sather seems to still, and I still, Kreider is Sather's boy. He loves Kreider. And do you think maybe that played an effect, the fact that he was playing, you know, yo-yoing him the whole year, up and down, blah, 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 and then Kreider scores the overtime goal for the only win they get in the second round. You think that maybe was a factor?
I think it was. You know, as fans, we screamed for years, build an organization, build from within, start drafting players. And now Glenn's doing that, or somebody's doing it. Somebody with a cattle prod is making Glenn do it. I don't know. Maybe he's been tased. But he's doing it. And now he's seeing, and I'm sorry, people could disagree with me. I know they're going to. There are some people that will agree with me. Some people would disagree with me. I am of the belief that John Tortorella has ruined Michael Delzato. Ruined him.
Wow.
I think Sather sees that, or somebody hit Glenn with the cattle prod and made him see it, showed him a YouTube video or something. And I think he saw it with Kreider. And maybe I'm wrong on MDZ. You know, I'm still hanging on to that wagon. And maybe I'll be one off, whatever. But
I'm looking at the chat room. Everybody's agreeing with you.
Oh, well, I love you, you bastards. I believe there is a talented hockey player somewhere behind that big schnoz of his. And I think he has been beaten down to a nub by this man. I really do. And the next coach is really going to have... I mean, we joked about it last night, but this is a kid. This is a kid who was rushed, and this is hindsight because I agreed with it at the time, to let him skip his juniors or however that worked out. I agreed with it at the time. In hindsight, that was the absolute wrong thing to do. I learned my lesson as a internet radio co-host and second-guessing fan. But it was the wrong thing to do, and I honestly believe that John Tortorella has worn him down to a nub. He is one of the most fragile hockey players I have ever seen. I mean, you could see that. He is deer in the headlights 24-7. And we had Leslie Treff on this show a couple of years ago and she talked about, go back and look it up, what a confident, cocky kid this was. How well he carried himself, how arrogant he was in his abilities. He's a shell. He is worn to nothing. Whoever's the next Rangers coach has got to work on building that kid's psyche back up. Am I wrong? Am I saying anything that's not true about what Leslie Treff said about him?
Oh, no. I mean, that was actually was like a detractor, is that he was so confident and cocky that sometimes he would, you know, overdo it. But you're right. Ever since he was yelled at, I mean, excoriated in front of the Madison Square Garden crowd, and we all remember that, Torts yelling at him during a game. Now, listen, I think Michael Delzato, I think he has a ways to go. I don't know if it's exactly the coach. He certainly can do no worse. I think he can only get better with a new coach. I just think the whole philosophy of spending half the game in three quarters of the game in your own zone could basically drive anybody, especially a young player, to make a lot of mistakes. But that's to be seen. So that we'll leave that one for the new coach when we start, you know, talking about what coaches, and we'll get to that a little bit later. Third thing they talked about in the conference calls was the Richard benching, which I was surprised because I really believed that it was just the coach. So he has to go to Sather and what have you, and they all say together, listen, I'm going to bench Richards tonight. Don't you find that kind of odd, or don't you? Or it's because he gets paid so much money that they feel that they, you know, to make a move of this magnitude, it's got to be everybody's got to be, you know, clued in.
You know, that's an interesting point. And normally, I don't know. I don't know. It's a good point. I don't know. Is that something that he's got to go? I guess it is. Because the GM's got to answer for it at some point, right? I mean, even if John Tortorella doesn't get fired today, when the pontiff eventually comes down and speaks to the masses, he's going to get asked that question, right? I don't know.
I would love to. I mean, who initiates that? Does John Tortorella say, listen, he's just not playing well? Or was Tortorella called in and say, listen, Richards is not playing well? I mean, and from all accounts, it seems like Tortorella was shocked that he got fired. Like, he didn't see this coming.
Is that the ego? Is that the arrogance?
I don't know. You know, when he came out with that comment that I think this would have irked me as a GM. When you come out with a comment that I don't feel like we fell back this year, but we went sideways, that's pretty lame.
Well, especially when your goaltender says, when your goaltender and your captain both say we regressed or we took a step backwards. You know, I think those were, you know, really telling signs. I mean, we really speculated a lot on Hank's statements last night. Not really from the standpoint of the effect it would have on Tortorella, but more of the effect it would have on us as fans, and the effect
right.
it would have on Hank and his career as a Ranger. And you know, I think a lot of us were, you know, kind of picturing a nightmarish scenario of Hank in another team's jersey. It really didn't. I honestly didn't think in terms of what effect it would have on Tortorella, and I think it was a big part of why we're on the air tonight.
Yeah. And then the Andrew Gross question, which I thought was hysterical, was like Andrew was almost saying, you know, Glenn, are you going to step down next? I mean,
right.
Andrew was really hoping for the hole. He wanted the Quinella, the exacta. He wanted the coach. He's like, do you think you're going to, like, you know, lessen your roles? And then, of course, say that the Shecky Green thing with, I'm not going to be sharpening skates anymore.
Right, yeah. Now appearing at the Belfiore in the Catskills, Glenn Sather.
So, and then I guess the last question, which I think Sather was saying yes. Now, maybe I'm looking into it too much, but when they asked him about is it important for the next coach to have a good relationship with the media? And Sather said, in the sports world today, it's kind of a necessity. Now, do you think that the relationship that Tortorella had, or the lack of a relationship he had with the media, played any part in him getting fired, or that was something that maybe perhaps irked Sather? But then again, Sather is not like, you know, he's not Mr. Friendly, but at least he's pleasant when he's being talked to.
I had an answer for your question in somewhere in there, and I don't think it was so much. I just think it was. I think part of the way he represented the organization. Part of it was yes, his relationship with the media, and just the way he represented the organization. Nobody wants an employee who makes your company look like jackasses. The Rangers have enough people that can do that for them.
They're the player.
I mean, it just makes them look bad.
You know what I like?
I've said it before. Everybody likes to say, oh, well, you know, who cares? The media doesn't owe the media any answers. But you got to understand he's a representative of the company. Put yourself in those shoes. If you go out and you treat the people that your company has to deal with the way he treated the media, you'd get fired. Or at least it would be part of you. You know, you'd get disciplined for it. It's just the way it is. I don't think it's the main reason why he got fired. I think it was more the relationship with the players. So, as a wise man once said, it is what it is.
I mean, it seems like it had more to do with the people in the players in the room rather than in the press room. I think if he was successful, and produced the Stanley Cup, it wouldn't matter how he treated people. Let's face
now,
it.
I have a phone call that just came up on the switchboard, and this person is pressed for time, and it's an old friend of ours. Before we get to, and then we're going to get to Ricky because I really want to hear what Ricky has to say. But are you ready for this, Eddie?
Yes.
All right. Welcome. I believe actually making his first appearance on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. The one and only, the man who sits atop the throne that is the Blue Shirt Banter Empire, Joseph Arthur Fortunato. Joe, welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
Good.
Standing ovation.
Eddie is on his feet, and that doesn't happen often.
That's right.
Now, Joe, as you know, thank you for coming on with us. We appreciate you calling in. As you know, we have a Facebook group for our listeners, that and they've been going nuts all day, and the mood has been jubilation. Most of our listeners were anti-torts. I did stick my head into Blue Shirt Banter a couple of times today, but you guys have blown up so big that it's hard for me to read all the comments. What's the mood of Blue Shirt Banter?
Oh, it's pure panic. I think it's always pure panic. The reality of the situation is Rangers fans are known to be very demanding and the expectations are high. And I think when you come off of being 2 wins away from the Stanley Cup berth and you get Rick Nash, there are higher expectations than most. I think a lot of commenters on the banter were upset with some of Tortorella's antics, I guess is the best way to put it. I'm not sure that's really what led to him being fired in terms of at least his presence with the media. But I do think the turning point, at least from Blue Shirt Banter, was his outburst against Sam Rosen earlier in the year against Buffalo. I think that really turned the tables in terms of the banter people, and they were displeased after that. But, I think they're happy now. I think you need a scapegoat after a season like that, and they are pleased that it happens to be Tortorella.
Joe, I had a big problem with Torch yelling at Sam because that's our job.
That's our job.
That
you guys?
I went off. I said, you don't pick on Sammy. He's 112 years old. That's our job.
Well, how do you personally, Joe, feel about the firing? What's your take on it?
I was on the fence, I think, when the season ended. And I've been asked that question a couple of times by a couple of different people, which is, what do you think of John Tortorella as a coach? And I pretty much came up with, I can't look anyone in the eye and tell them that John Tortorella is going to be the guy that's going to lead them to a Stanley Cup. But I can't look you in the eye and tell you that he won't be the guy to lead them to a Stanley Cup either. And this is something that I wrote about that'll go up tomorrow about the Torts firing, but the New York Rangers need to be very careful that they don't allow an ideology of losing is okay to kind of enter the locker room. I don't care how successful John Tortorella has been in making the playoffs. I don't care how successful he's been at even winning a couple of playoff series. What matters is Stanley Cups. And when you have the best goaltender in the world who's kind of on the wrong end of 30, and although goalies prime last a little bit longer than a player does, that window is closing. We don't know how fast it's closing, and it's simply not worth the risk, I guess, in Glenn Sabin's mind, for the Rangers to say, oh, we made the playoffs, we didn't get very far, but it's okay. And I think that's something that they need to avoid, and I think that's something they avoided right now. I mean, the good news is when you're a team that has such high expectations that you fire a coach after he gets you into the second round of the playoffs, you're doing something right. But the flip side of this is the Rangers do not have the ability to make a mistake with their next coaching candidate. You cannot screw this up because, again, how many years of an elite Henrik Lundqvist do you have left? 5 if you're lucky, and in my book, it's probably going to be 3 or 4. And then obviously you'll have good years after that, but with a guy like Henrik Lundqvist between the pipes, you need to be better than 5 games into the second round.
Good point.
No, that's fair enough. I mean, I would agree with that. I think, I really didn't consider that really this decision could be the coach that, might finish Henrik's career. He may be the coach that, since the Rangers tend to keep these guys around for 3-4 years, you're talking in, you know, 35-ish, that's about the time that, you know, the goaltending starts to go downhill a little bit. And it'll be very interesting, you know. And I think certainly Ranger fans are right now in a tenuous situation because they're relieved that Tortorella is fired, but now you're kind of in this zone where you're scared what's going to happen next. That's the problem.
Yeah, and the reality of the situation is a coach like Tortorella, like Shaver said in his press conference, they have a shelf life. And a guy like Tortorella wears on everybody around him. And it's not a matter of when, or it's a matter of when a guy like that gets fired, not if. Eventually, players like, or coaches like that, wear out their welcome. I mean, Mike Keane is a good example. Lindy Ruff, even though it took him forever, is a good example. And then John Tortorella. I mean, some guys have longer shelf lives than most. But in this case, I think there was a – I mean, look, let's not mince words here. I think it's pretty clear that Tortorella lost the room. And I think you're seeing evidence from that in the fact that Henrik Lundqvist did make those comments at breakup day. You know, Callahan and Lundqvist are talking about how the season is a step back and how they're not moving in the right direction. And Tortorella is saying how it's a sideways step and they're not moving in the right direction, but – you know, it wasn't exactly where they wanted to be. And I think that in all reality, I mean, honestly, for me, the most damning piece of information came from Pat from the New York Daily News, who said that, according to his sources, a lot of the higher-level Rangers players knew that Tortorella was going to be fired, which leads me to believe that at some point when the season ended, a group of guys came together, talked about it, maybe after the exit interviews, and said to Glenn Sather, look, something has to be done. And that wouldn't shock me either, but with, you know, it's almost like a murder mystery right now. You don't really know whose blood the hand is on. I mean, it's true.
Like Clue.
Because at first
it's
everybody
like
was saying, oh, it's
Colonel
Lundqvist's comment.
It's Colonel Mustard.
Yeah, and then Sather is saying, you know, this was a decision made by me after I consulted some people, but I don't think this falls on one person. I don't think this falls on just the players. I think the reality is Tortorella lost the room at some point. He really has not gotten the job done, at least in terms of winning a Stanley Cup, which is what Glenn Sather brought him in to do. And when you look at his system compared to the Rangers' issues, I mean, the biggest reason for me from a hockey standpoint why Tortorella would be fired was his inability to make adjustments. How many times are you going to leave the point open against two teams that, you know, Washington didn't make you pay that much and Boston beat you with it? How many times are you going to roll two lines so that your bottom lines, who arguably were not that great in the first place, are so tired they can't hang with Boston's fourth line? And again, when your power play is that bad, you're not shaking things up. You're not taking Sullivan off of the power play responsibilities. You're not looking to bring someone in. You're not looking to do new ideas. With a team that can't score, how is Chris Kreider playing 3 minutes a night until the final two playoff games? And how is Brad Richards continuing to see power play time until game four of the Rangers' second round against Boston? There were just too many mistakes that you look at and you say, well, Tortorella maybe isn't directly responsible for all of them, but he certainly could have put a stop to it if he wanted to. And he didn't. And the Rangers lost a pretty disappointing series against the Bruins. And now he's out of a job. And I have to think that it's a combination of the players not being happy. Henrik Lundqvist obviously is not thrilled with the system that they're running, and the Rangers were not winning games.
Yeah, I thought Hank really took the Gabrick trade. He didn't like that trade. I really believe that he felt that was at the time he saw one of his best buddies go, and he sees the team, you know, lessening the offensive guns. Now, listen, Gabrick wasn't producing at the time, but that on top of another, you know, let's all collapse around, you know, Henrik, you know, let's him, you know, be our savior type of season. I mean, I think he had enough. And now I agree with Jim. I think he might have gotten in Sather's ear. I mean, you know, without Henrik, what would John Tortorella's record have been? Would they have even made the playoffs? I mean, I think we all can agree that they wouldn't have. I mean, if you don't have that world-class goaltender in there, they're not going anywhere under the system that they were playing.
And, you know, the other truth of the matter is that the New York Rangers had high-caliber offensive players in Brad Richards, Marion Gaborik, and Rick Nash that simply weren't performing. And I'm not going to lay the blame for Gaborik and Richard's struggles this year on Tortorella. I really don't think anyone can, because, to be fair, Gaborik and Richards performed in that system earlier. I mean, last year, Richards was good. Gaborik was great. You know, three years ago, Gaborik was great, and Richards wasn't here. But the point is, once they were gone, the Rangers, that Gaborik trade, it hurts, because it proves that a long-term investment that the Rangers thought was going to be a solution to their Stanley Cup woes, and Gaborik wasn't. But at the end of the day, that's a really good move by Sather to bring back much-needed depth that ended up helping the Rangers get through the first round. But when your top guns aren't performing, and in the playoffs when you're not scoring, and when your power play only converts three times the entire postseason, something is wrong. And there was no real adjustment to make things more offensive. It kind of looked like, almost like Tom Rennie's reign in defense first, block shots first, try to create offense from there.
And I couldn't agree with you more.
Right.
Tortorella,
right.
I couldn't agree with you more.
On himself for not getting his top guys going. But again, you're working in a very – the Rangers got younger with the Gaborik trade. Matt Zuccarello makes them younger too. They have more depth. One of the main reasons why I'm not so disappointed that they lost is because this team is younger than the last team was, and the window is a little bit more open now because of that. But the Rangers' hopes fall on Henrik Lundqvist. That's the reality of the situation. And if you're Glenn Sather, who reportedly loved the free agent class of coaches that's currently available, are you really willing to let all those guys get picked up and then risk another year with Tortorella where he might not be able to right the ship and players are already unhappy, and then have all those guys snatched up and that's another year of Henrik Lundqvist's time where you didn't get where you wanted to go? And to me, that's not worth the risk. And obviously to Glenn Sather, that wasn't worth the risk.
Good point, Joe. Joe, I know you gotta run. You gotta go to dinner. Quick, just give us a quick. Who's your first choice for next head coach? Do you have one yet?
From Vancouver. I think that his system kind of fits into what the Rangers would be looking for, and almost more importantly for me, he is a coach that has some deep playoff experience, which is obviously something the Rangers would be looking for since they're hoping to make it deep in the playoffs next year.
Right.
I saw Katie Strang throw out Mark Messier. I would be shocked if Rangers were in that direction.
Please.
The reality is you cannot screw up this coaching decision, and now is not the time to take a gamble with a guy like Messier. You want to do that when you're in the rebuilding phase and whatever have you. Hopefully that's not for a really long time. But Tippett is another guy that I don't think I would mind. To me, you can't bring Lindy Ruff in. You just sent John Tortorella out. You can't bring in another coach who's almost, you know, the same type of personality, the same type of coach. I just think you need to go in a different direction. I think Vigneault is that guy.
Okay.
Everybody seems to be. Yeah. Thanks for your input. Shall we?
Well, gentlemen, this was quite a bit of fun.
Yeah.
Call in again. I've asked you before.
Call
in. You're always busy. One last question. Did they let you sit in on the conference call?
I believe I could have, but I was at work.
Oh, okay. All right.
I was given permission, but I could not.
I'm glad I haven't completely destroyed your relationship with the Rangers, because God knows I tried.
I was able to pick it up. I'm a likable guy.
All right. Take care, Joe. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
The one and only Joe Fortunato. A lot of good points.
Joey Pants.
Joe is on the mark.
Point.
Joey Pants on the mark. All right, you ready to talk with Ozzy? Get the dirt.
Well, yeah, the biggest heel in internet hockey radio. Here he is. Bring in Ricky. I want to hear what went down.
All right, now, before I put Ricky on the air, I just want to tell everybody that Ricky sent me a text message a week ago, or I guess it was close to a week ago, and it said that John Tortorella had just left a meeting at Madison Square Garden and was asked to resign if they didn't get out of the second round. That apparently there had been a big blow-up with Glenn Sather and that Tortorella was going to be gone. And then
now, let me just say something. Now, people are claiming, he's claiming that he texted me. Nobody texted me. I know I was in Salt Lake City, and I know I was doing a show from a car last week. I don't remember hearing it. I could have looked like a genius on the interwebs. I could have said, oh, my sources say, but nothing.
All right, let's talk to Ricky. Welcome back to the program, Ricky O. How you doing, Rick?
Good, guys. How you doing?
Good.
We're doing good.
So give us the scoop.
Ralph, I definitely texted you. You were in on that text.
All right. You said I pulled a Roscoe on you. I don't even know what that is.
Roscoe.
Oh, okay.
That
wounded me. All right, so give it to us. Give it to us what you heard. First of all, I'd say Ricky also broke the Aless Cota leak trade. He scooped that before, if you remember that. But
yep.
I remember you wrote Steve Zappe, said, listen, he didn't want to hear from you, but you were right on that, and it looks like you might have been right on this. Now, I don't know about your Lundquist comments, but other than that, you're right on the money. So what'd you hear?
You're turning me heel before I even get going. The Cota leak trade, if you remember, was on February 1st, a couple of years ago. We were on the show. We were talking about it. He denied that there was any kind of a problem. I spoke to Cota leak, as you know, through the memorabilia business, and I was told that he had demanded a trade. Torts denied that, and he was traded the next day, as a matter of fact. And if you remember when he went to Calgary, the first thing he said was he couldn't get along with Tortorella. Another friend of mine, actually, that I had broke and was run out of town was the Colton Orr story, where Torts just absolutely told Glenn Sather he did not want Colton Orr in New York. Colton Orr was let go, and Donald Brashear was brought in. But that really has nothing to do with, you know, what happened this year. I was told, and you know, I have my ear in the locker room with a couple of players, although my three main connections are now Don, Babinski, Ruff, and Gabrick. There was a lot of dissension this year, very early. I would say about the 20-game mark of this year, a lot of the veterans had hit the wall with Tortorella. The screaming had gone to a point where they no longer – it was going in one ear and out the other one. A couple of the guys stood up and basically defended a couple rookies in the room. I was not given names, but supposedly this year he was very, very, very brutal to a couple of the younger guys on the roster. Ruff was traded. I was told on the way out that Ruff kind of was very happy to be getting away from the situation here in the locker room. Take it for what it's worth. I mean, I think the trade was a good trade for the Rangers, even though Mike Ruff was a friend of mine. Now, what I heard last week is I have an inside source inside the NHL who I can't believe that the New York writers have just turned either. I was told it's dead fear of Dolan and Sather. That basically, if any of this would have gotten out, they would have lost their access to the Rangers as far as getting inside stuff. Sather, believe it or not, is the word I was told today runs the New York Rangers as a mafia family. Basically, you're either with them or against them, and if you're against them, you are on the outs in the New York area. With as far as stories, interviews, he will cut you off. I was told that early last week it came down to a player decision. I was not told if it was Richards. One of the things I was told was he wanted to scratch for game 4 Kreider and play Powell. Powell was supposed to be returning. Supposedly Sather and the front office was completely against the move, and a huge argument basically took place downstairs in the coach's room, to which Tortorella slammed the door, left Madison Square Garden 3 hours before the game time was supposed to start, and did not return for over an hour and a half.
Wow. That would put a little credence into what I kind of thought about, you know, Sather being Kreider's boy. And look, Darryl Powell, I mean, why wouldn't you want to play him? He has no goals and no assists. I mean, come on.
He's
sounds like
guy.
A no-brainer. Yeah, I mean, come
and,
on.
And basically, after two concussions, he has no brain left now.
Yeah. So Torts is pissed. He leaves.
Okay, now here's the story I was given today. Again, these are not directly from me. These are from an inside source from the NHL. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to try to get this gentleman on with you guys next time. I don't want to give his name up. It's not fair to him. I'm putting his job in jeopardy. But he is very, very close friends with Sullivan. Very close. They went to college together. Sully was offered the BU job a couple of weeks ago. He turned down the job because he was promised by Glenn Sather that he will not be gone if anything went down with Tortorella. Now, what I was told today, Mouth, and this is crazy, someone from the Rangers actually fears that Tortorella is a detriment to his own health at this point. That the argument...
It's a suicide watch!
Yeah, I mean, basically, without using those words, that's what I was told, that he was so beyond livid and breaking things, sticks, locker room stuff, coaches' office being destroyed. This guy supposedly has really, really, really got a problem. Anger management issue, probably worse than me. And what I was told was that the fight came down because he was actually refusing to speak to Glenn Sather. He was giving Sullivan messages to run back to Sather with and Gordy Clark. And when he refused to speak to them that day, he was asked to resign on the spot that day. And cooler heads prevailed because it was 3 hours before a Ranger game.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. So was it a shot? I saw you. We got confirmation. I looked at the tweet. You wrote, you tweeted this way before.
It was
once
on the 23rd. On the 23rd of this month.
You scooped everybody again.
Yeah, I make sure to let Zippy know that one again today.
Yeah, unbelievable. Now, I mean, I know, and to get off the topic just a little bit why I got you here, so many fans I know were like, I'm not going to another game until Tortorella's gone. I got to say, Ricky, you were first on the hate Tortorella bandwagon. You were one of the first. I just remember your wife saying, I'm never going to watch them or I'm never going to a game as long as he's coach. Now that Tortorella's gone, is she going to go to the games?
We gave up season tickets, if you remember, Malcolm. As a matter of fact, the first thing that we said the night he was hired, I was on your show, and I said to you, Tortorella will strip the Rangers of their youth, their toughness, and their identity. And you can go back and listen to the tapes. Those were the things I told you he was going to do. He wears out his welcome. I mean, the best person who summed it up today was Matthew Barnaby on Twitter. Barnaby said that John Tortorella has a screw loose and was a terrible, terrible person to play for. Those were his words. And, you've got to understand something. He's a 1 to 2 year guy. He wore out his welcome in less than 2 years here. The screaming at people and the constant berating of people just completely burns itself out as a coach. I don't coach on anywhere near a professional level, but I do coach a couple different sports on a very high travel level AAU type program. You cannot just continually berate players and be a bully. A coach needs to be a person who's a sympathetic guy at times, kicks a guy in the ass at other times, and pulls out and motivates at others. And this guy just doesn't do that. And to answer your question, I personally, my pick as the coach is Dave Tippett. I really hope he comes in here. I think that he would be great for the organization. And if it's anybody other than Lindy Ruff, Andrew and I will be returning to games.
Okay, very good.
I think the only thing working, and I think, Ricky, I think Tippett would be a good choice as well. I think the only thing working against Tippett is that his contract doesn't expire until July 1st, and Uncle Slat said today he wants a coach by the draft. Now, obviously, those things could be worked out, but I don't know if Tippett's going anywhere. I mean, Maloney just got a contract extension. I can't imagine, so I don't know. I think Tippett would be a good choice, too, though.
I also like Dallas Eakins a lot. Fantastic, fantastic minor league coach at the AHL level, a teacher, former Ranger for a few games, tough guy. Who,
tremendous,
you know,
Ranger.
A tremendous guy. Had a couple great, straps in his day. It's just a matter of this point. And, now, if I know you agree with me, he'll never get the job. But a guy I would love to have seen being here as an assistant already and could have walked right into this job was James Patrick. This organization really, other than the 94 team, doesn't embrace its former players. And these are a couple guys that are coaching in other organizations that really could have walked right in here. I mean, we wasted 4 years down in, with the Hartford Whale having that Janander guy. I can't wait for him to be fired. He's just an absolute, Tortorella clone and brought nothing to the table down there. He developed nobody.
No, he hasn't. We'll see. I also heard that Tortorella had words with Schoenfeld.
There was a situation I was told that Shawnee was the go-between Sather and Torts, and at one time it did get heated, and that was part of the blow-up the other day. And I got news for you. Jim Schoenfeld is in consideration for this job. He is maybe considering taking the head coaching job.
That's interesting, because he's kind of like said no to coaching in the past. He doesn't like dealing with the press. But, hey, listen, I'd like him. I think I'm on board for him. I mean, there's some other guys we got to consider. I'm not so crazy about Dallas Eakins. I know he's played an up-tempo game with the Toronto Marlies in the AHL. But I can't see Sather, you know, before we get really into it, going with a guy that's unproven. He's going to go with some guy who's a name. This is just the way he does it. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I just really hope it's not Lindy Ruff. I mean, it would be going from, you know, basically the same guy to an older version of the same guy.
You really think Lindy is a hothead? I don't know. You think that much? I don't know.
I think he gave his past Lindy Ruff by. He did a fantastic job in Buffalo for 15 years. At some point or another, it's the same thing like Hitchcock. You know, I think Sather actually had a pretty quote today. He said, all coaches have a shelf life. I think their shelf life has kind of expired.
But GMs don't.
It's a new NHL now. I mean, I'm one of the people who hasn't changed either. I mean, I still love a physical game. I want to dress a Colton Orr every day. I want to see people get, you know, intimidated. But that game is gone now. If you watch Detroit and Chicago, that's the new NHL, man. You know, we got a couple guys coming up to Sweden, Lindbergh, and we have Fast or whatever, you know, however you pronounce his name. These kids are the new NHL, man. It's 250 miles an hour straight ahead and put the puck in the net. And you can't have a coach who's still coaching in the dinosaur age. You need to advance with technology, and the game has moved forward past what I think a guy like Lindy Ruff is capable of comprehending.
Well, Ricky, once again, you have come through. You are, you certainly have been right on several things. A lot of people like to run you down, but when it comes down to the bottom line, you come with the truth, and sometimes people don't want to accept it. They're a little jealous that they're not in the know. But once again, we appreciate you calling in and sharing everything with us. And next time, text me. Don't just text Jim. You don't even like
it. I'll give you one quick scoop before we go again, just so we can laugh at them. The Devils are in really, really, really big financial trouble again. And from what I'm told, after the draft is over this year at the Rock, there's even talk of that franchise looking to move. They're in big financial trouble. Van Der Beek has fallen behind again, and he's only taken a team back from the NHL less than, you know, there was rumors of the NHL taking it away less than a year ago, and the rumors are back again.
Not that Ricky, I want to get into a lot of Devils talk, but I'm sorry. Didn't they just – I thought they just got an investor.
There's no money has gone through
ago.
Yet.
Oh,
the money has not come through yet.
Is it John Spano?
I'm not sure if it's Spano. I was trying to think of his name real quick, but I can't tell you from talking directly to a source. They're 5 years behind on their rent to the city of Newark. They've never paid a dime. The
nice.
City itself actually had a cut budget this year and employees because of the Devils not paying their rent, which is disgusting that people lost their jobs because of Vanderbilt.
Oh, you know,
just
Corey
one
Mayer
last
Booker
thing.
Follows me on Twitter. I'll have to talk to him about that. We'll get the Devils thrown out.
Booker, will you?
Ricky, and you know what? Talk to your pal David Clarkson. Tell him to come to New York.
David Clarkson will be a Maple Leaf when it's all said and done. That's just something I haven't at all discussed it with him other than trying to get him to New York and hang out with Gresham for TU to see what it's like to be there. I didn't say that. He is, in my heart, I think he's going back to Toronto.
Okay. All right, Ricky. Thanks for calling in, man. We really appreciate
thanks,
it.
Thanks, Ricky.
Thanks, guys. Glad to be
talk
back.
To you
hope
soon.
You soon.
Bye.
Take care. There you go.
Wow. Look at this switchboard. Holy bejesus. Who's been on hold the longest?
Yeah, let's get to the phone.
Well, let's see. Amanda Aggie.
Is Beavis and Butthead? Speak!
Yeah. What is happening?
Yeah, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing well.
Well, you caught me off guard there. I was sitting here, and this is my wife's Skype, and I'm like, holy shit, he just called out my name. So, yeah, first time caller in here, and then I got to be honest with you. I was all the way with Torts for the first couple years, and this last year, man, I'm telling you, I was done with him after the first 10 games, I think.
Now, what was the thing that got you most? What was the thing that wore on you, that grinded on you?
I think that the main thing is, man, every time they showed him on the bench, the guy looked like he was going to lose his shit. I mean, every time, it could have been a call for us. It could have been a call for them. And he's over there losing his friggin' mind.
So it was a composure thing.
Yeah, he's definitely got temper issues.
Yeah, I mean, you knew the guy was going to be gone at the end of the year. I mean, you could just tell by the end of the day, especially when he starts throwing his own players under the bus like he did with Hagelin there at the end. It was like, holy shit, how much more are they going to let him go with this, you know?
I mean, when you're calling a play and saying he stinks, it was bad enough that I did the yo-yo act with Kreider all year, and he even slammed Kreider after last year's playoffs when he basically was our savior. You know, he was awful out there at times. Instead of just praising him and then in the locker room saying, listen, Chris, you got to shore it up defensively. No, he's got to come out in the media and say that. He did the same thing with Hagelin. Go ahead.
You got to let him play, you know. I mean, he's a young kid. He's got a lot of talent. Plus, he's got a lot of adrenaline. Coming into a game like that last year and doing what he did in those first couple of games, you got to let him come out and prove himself again. And he cut him off short. And he never gave him a chance this year. And that's what truly, I think, really hurt the guy. And then he shows him again in the very last game or the game before last. I mean, you got to give the kid a chance.
Yeah. I mean, so do you have any have you even delved into who you want to replace him, or are you still basking in the glory that he's got?
Well, I tell you, man, I really would like to see Sully go, too. I definitely don't want to see him stick around too much, but I don't think I want to see Ruff come in here. That's another no-no, I don't think.
I think a lot of people, a lot of Ranger fans feel that way. No Lindy Ruff.
Yeah.
And, Sullivan, they said, he's still part of that. Ricky said he's probably going to hang around. I don't know. I just hope he doesn't coach the power play. That's all I hope.
Yeah, you got that right. We need to have somebody come here with a power play, definitely. And I think I'm hoping that the next guy, well, you think that they bring a new coach in, they're going to want the new coach, whoever it is, is going to want to bring in his own next guy in, you know, his next guy in the helm, you know?
Yeah, he's going to bring in his own crew. He's not going to go with the old cat.
We'll see. I guess we'll see in the next couple weeks, you know. I'm glad to see that they're jumping on it quick, but I hope they don't screw it up.
Well, they probably
kind of the Ranger fan motto, isn't it? I hope they don't screw it up.
This year, like, really. But I don't know. We'll see, I guess.
Well,
all right,
thanks
for calling
in. Hey, I appreciate it. You guys have a great night. Keep me on hold.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. I didn't hear what he said at the end there.
Just said, keep me on hold.
Oh, is that what he said?
Yeah.
Oops. Sorry. Call back and I'll leave you on hold. I'm sorry. He was breaking up, but I couldn't understand him. And then you sorry. Call back.
No.
Exactly. Thank you, Paulie. Here's another new number I don't recognize. 786. I think this is Florida. 786-797. You're on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Mark. How are you, boys?
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Good. I don't even know what to say. This is unreal. I mean, I feel like it's Christmas.
I don't know why.
That's kind of how we felt today. It was just, I called Eddie this morning and I said, let's start the season. I'm excited for hockey again. Let's start. Let's skip right to 2013-14. Let's go.
Yeah, it's unreal. I mean, you know, it's about time. I don't know how these guys who defend Tortorella even have a leg to stand on. I've been posting on the page all day long and just F these torts lovers. I mean, there's nothing about the guy to love. I mean, I've been watching NHL on the Fly, NHL Live. You know, no one was surprised by this. Pierre Maguire, no one was surprised by this. Were you guys surprised by this?
Jim might have been.
I was after yesterday reading every paper and website in the world saying he's not going anywhere.
And I kind of thought it could still happen, but then after I read everything and I talked to everybody and people we know who cover hockey, they all said he's not going anywhere. I was all disappointed, and I was like, I even said it on last night's show. I'm like, I don't know how I can get up for the season with this guy as the coach. I know it's going to be the same stuff over and over again. 2-1.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I think Henrik's comments definitely slammed the door on that. I mean, after the power play not working, after, you know, Kreider not getting a fair shot, after the shitty season that both, you know, Well, I wouldn't say Nash had a shitty season, but he had a shitty postseason. But Richards had he had a shitty playoffs. But he even admitted, I mean, he even admitted himself, Tortorella, that he couldn't get his guys to play the way they should play. And he should have played McDonough. And this is what everybody's been screaming about, you know. So I think he had a feeling that he was covering his ass and he was going to get fired. I think he knew. What do you guys think?
I think you're right in that, especially when you said, oh, you know, I really should have put a McDonough on the point a long time ago. And, you know, he gave Kreider a chance. It's almost like all the things they were telling him to do that he was just being stubborn and not doing, he finally came around to at least taking on a little culpability. And he may have been trying to save his ass, you know, with that. But it was a little too late. I mean, I think Henrik and like Jim said, when Callahan and Henrik are saying we took a step backwards and you got the coach saying, well, we took a step sideways, there seems to be a disconnect there.
Yeah, what was that all about? I mean, you see the comments that the players had. Obviously, it was in complete contrast with what the coach had, and he knew he was trying to save his own ass. But in the end, he came up short, and I'm just glad he's gone.
And where were you at?
How much time do we have to talk about?
John Tortorella's on the line.
John, oh, John, how are you?
Jesus Christ, how much time do we have to talk about?
Yeah, he's a maniac.
and you guys want to hear something funny real quick is that, you know, my fiance knows everything about Tortorella, and, you know, I played the top 10 of Tortorella highlights with the media, and she's like, do you think he's going to get interviewed today?
I don't think so. I would love to see that.
But again, this knucklehead's going to get a job somewhere, but we just need a new, voice in the room, and, I haven't heard the entire show. What do you guys think about Richards getting bought out? Do you think that's a possibility? Do you agree with that? Do you disagree with that?
I certainly. Go ahead, Jim.
I'm not sure it's as probable as it was 12 hours ago.
They have to, because if they don't buy him out and he gets injured, they're stuck with him. And
ifs and buts,
candy and nuts. But I'm telling you, he's got to be bought out. He's got to be bought out.
I would say he still gets bought out, but it might not be as automatic as we thought as it was yesterday. Because he had an interesting comment too. I don't know if you saw it. Somebody
said that he wanted to stay a Ranger more than a year and a half, right? He expected that. That's for your...
No. He said somebody asked him, I don't know if it was yesterday or if it was right after he was benched in the playoffs, and somebody asked him, about his relationship with Tortorella, because they go back to 2004, whatever, and Brad Richards basically said something like... relationships come and go or something like that. So
right at the end, he said, I remember that.
So I don't see how they're going to be able to keep him, but
he stinks. He's horrible. I mean, there's no reason to keep him. He's going to have a bounce back season. He's horrible. No.
I don't know. I kind of can play both sides of it, where I see him having a bounce back season, but he's never had such a season like this. This is not the same case of a Chris Drury or a Gomez, where they were second line players getting, you know, elite guy money. This is a guy who is a number one center, and he still finished third on the team with scoring, but, you know, for whatever reason, he said he came ready for September for the season to start, but the guy just didn't come to play. So, I mean, do you give him another shot? I mean, they could still buy him out next year. I mean, does the guy get injured and then you're stuck with him? But, you know, they don't have a number one center. That's the problem. I mean, you know, what if Stepan and Broussard don't step up to the plate? What do you do then? But then again,
Andy,
they need to buy him out because they need money for Henrik and everyone else.
Of being giving.
You're going to give him a nah.
I'm just going to give a mood today. Ask me again tomorrow. Maybe.
Can you guys, seriously, give me a couple names from any sport where a guy went from, he had 25 goals last year. Think about that, Richards.
He's also been declining. If you look at his points per game, actually, his average. He's been declining.
Look at the points. You guys watched him out there. He was passing to ghosts. He was.
But what about the shot on Henrik?
Yeah, he's taking shots on his own goalie.
That was crazy. I think he married this Swedish model and he's got his head up his ass now. He doesn't care about hockey.
Could be. What was that other chick he was dating?
It's got
to
be off ice issues. It's got to be.
And he didn't work out during the off season. Get him out of here. Out.
All right, I can't talk about that now. I want to be in a good mood. All right. Mark, we're going to let you go. We got to take a lot of calls before we get out of here in 25 minutes. So thank you for calling. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you for bringing hockey to me in Florida. I love you guys. I listen to you guys all the time, and we'll be in touch.
All right. Take care.
Thanks, Mark.
Take it easy.
All right, let's see. I'm trying to pull up the new numbers that I don't recognize. 848-667. This is my brother, isn't it?
Like you didn't recognize the number.
Actually, until I noticed the 049. Never mind. I didn't realize it was you. What's going on? Are you happy?
I was hoping you were going to be doing a show tonight after I saw that Tortorella's farm. I'm like, oh, Jim's definitely going to be doing a show tonight.
Whenever there is big Ranger news, you can count on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. That's our motto. That's our credo. It has been for hundreds of years. Ever
Even
since Dan Fischler was a little boy.
Yes.
Ever since Dan Fischler helped ratify the Constitution.
I had a young crowd.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, what were you about to ask?
I don't know.
Oh, well then. Well, I had gotten a text from Jeff, our other brother, and all it said was Torts is fired. I'm like, no way, and immediately went on to the one side I always check for all my Rangers news. I was like, well, there you go. He's been fired. And I didn't expect him to be fired. I thought they would have maybe let him go into the next season, see if anything changed, but I'm not upset about the move. I saw it coming. I'm glad it happened. This team needed a change. There was no offense, no power play. He was a defensive-minded coach that bogged down the team, and any time any one of his players made a defensive mistake, even though it wasn't their type of game, he held them responsible and benched them.
Right.
And I just was not happy about that. I was glad to see that he was fired.
Every time your brother calls in, I get depressed.
Why?
Because I don't have brothers to talk hockey about. I told you this the last time. I want to be adopted. Can I adopt you guys? I want to be a Schmiedegeik.
I told you that I lose my place in the pecking order if we adopt you. You become the oldest.
Oh. Well, I love my brother. Just I can't talk.
No, I will say this. When Tortorella was first hired, I liked it because he was a coach who's going to kick this team in its ass and get him back on the right track. But after that, he accomplished that. This team started to lose its focus, and they started to tune him out because they got tired of his attitude and the crap he was saying to the media, and they just stopped listening to him. And they weren't seeing the results on the ice from him either, because the players saw that his coaching style was just, it was predictable. Any team can defend it. So just the players tuned him out. They had to figure it. He's going to be gone.
Well, you're right, and I'm glad he's gone. The Schmiedeberg clan is all happy that he's gone.
Yeah, I'm very happy that he's gone. I also love some of the options that they have that are out right now for coaches.
Who do you like?
Dude, that's a tough call, because I've seen a lot of, I guess, essentially rumors or, you know, naysay and whatnot. I've heard that possibly, you know, they might talk to Messier, which... But it's not going to happen because, one, I don't think he's interested in a coaching job, and two, I'd rather see a coach come in who has a resume behind him. I don't want them to start off with a rookie coach for this team. I've seen Lindy Ruff, who I like. He's a former Ranger. He coached Buffalo well, even though he got fired this season. I like Lindy Ruff. but I also like, will you stop that crap? But I also like, I don't know how to say his name. It's the coach from Vancouver, Vigneault, is that how you say his name?
Vigneault.
Vigneault. I like him, and a lot of people are like, oh, well, he got fired from Vancouver. I'm like, yeah, but he had five first-place finishes and got them to the Cup. He ran a damn good offense for Vancouver.
It should be noted that Vigneault, if I'm saying that correctly, was on the candidates list when one Brian Trottier was hired as coach of the Rangers. So he is on Sather's radar.
I like him the most because I think he would help the offensive side of the game very much.
I like that. I like that pick. I like Dave Tippett better, but from what I'm hearing about Tippett is that he's kind of still under contract and that he's going to his stipulation of his contract is that nobody can interview him, something like that. I mean, he's hearing little undercurrents about him. But
the Coyotes. How many deals over the years have we worked out with the Coyotes?
Maloney.
Yeah, right.
I mean, Don Maloney holds it. Lori Korpakowski.
I also saw possibly Mark Crawford once in on the deal.
Oh, please. No, forget about him.
I'm not saying I favor that. I'm just, again, a lot of this is just things I've heard and just, I'm sure every news outlet out there is like, oh, well, this coach is available and this guy's available. Maybe the Rangers will look at this guy. Doesn't mean they're all a fifth.
he's getting every buzzer we've got.
Oh, Crawford, forget about that guy. I have Gary Busey as my coach.
Go get Joan Crawford. All right, John, we got to run. I got to get all these calls in 18 minutes.
How the hell with them?
Amen, brother. All right, I'll talk to you later.
Later.
All right. Hold on, here we go. Justin, let it all out.
Hey, fellas. What's up?
What's going on?
Not too much. Pretty sure this is about as happy as I could be about the team right now.
You notice all our happiness comes in the off season, never comes during the season.
Yeah.
Well, the reason that is Justin shit can, so I'm looking forward to next year already.
Yep. No more fire torts.
No, I just want to say my one parting gift is go fuck yourself, Tortorella, and have a nice life. Goodbye.
Wow.
Thanks for nothing.
That's all you wanted to say?
That's the main thing I wanted to say. I cannot be, more happy that this fucking moron is gone. Now we can actually focus on playing some fucking hockey.
Somebody, by the way, I forget. Somebody tweeted me this today, but they said,
I love peanut butter sandwiches.
Let's see their horses. Waved his magic wand and John Tortorella was fired.
I think a lot had to do with Henrik. I mean, I don't know any other player that would have had as much influence in that decision as him. I think when he made those comments, they really took that to heart. You know what I mean?
Well, everybody's saying that has been a driving force in his being fired. I think it had something to do with it, but I also think in Tortorella's mind, the shelf life of John Tortorella was over.
Yeah, the shelf life was completely gone. He needs to be gone. So I caught a little bit of your last call. Who are you guys thinking about for replacing him?
Well, I like Dave Tippett, Elaine Vigneault, Dallas Eakins, and probably a wild card, Keith Boucher.
Justin, I had to put you back on hold, man. It was really loud. All I heard was like wind noise, the wind whipping through your car there. But I'll keep you on hold in case you were listening. Let's go to, there he is, Joe. Joe.
Tim.
Joe.
Eddie.
How you doing, Joe?
All right. Here's my take on things. You guys made a lot of good points.
Of
and I think eventually.
No.
Hey, I don't expect it. You kid yourself. Anyway, I think this comes down to Tortorella. He has a shelf life. I thought his shelf life was, if they didn't make that quote unquote run to the conference final last year, shelf life was over last year. And this year is just exactly what then it was time. And I knew it was going to happen. I just didn't think it was going to happen today. I didn't think he was coming back next year. A lot of people thought so, but I really didn't. And I think I really didn't think he lost the room. I'm not in the room, so I didn't, I just didn't think he lost the room. But until I heard Hank's comments about that contract extension, and I mean, Hank's biggest complaint over the last several years has been the lack of scoring. Every time, they lose a tough, one-goal game, a low-scoring game, he's always, you could see it.
Oh, yeah. You know how many times he smashed his stick this year?
No.
I mean,
that's
this guy.
That's what we were talking about. I remember Eddie a couple of weeks ago, and I said, boy, if we're frustrated in 2-1 games, imagine how frustrated he must be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, this guy's getting ousted from the playoffs with two goals against. I mean, give it a break.
It's sick. I mean, imagine we got him out to like a 3-0 lead, half the time at least. It's unbelievable. Or just gradually got up to a 3-goal lead. I mean, it was priority. I mean, we were coached to win 2-1 hockey games, and that eventually catches up to you. You can block a million shots, but that's going to catch up to you. So the Glenn Sather's job is to hire a coach that won't be the same type of coach. And like I said, I've been saying for a while, John Tortorella, I think these players have passed John Tortorella's system by and the system that he employs. And, that stupid comment, we went sideways. That's ego not admitting defeat. Stupid.
Right. That's fine.
Stupid comment.
Was that font? They couldn't say the word wrong.
Right.
That's what I mean.
But anyway, I'm going to chime in on the coaching real quick. You're going to hear lots of these names: same Tippett, Ruff, Vigneault, Crawford. There's Paul Maurice. He's coaching the KHL. Crawford's actually in the Swiss league, although to my understanding, he has an out in his contract if he's off the contract in the NHL. Eakins right now is interviewing with Vancouver. He's suited for them. He came from their system. I mean, I think Dave Nonis wanted to hire him as Toronto's head coach to replace Ron Wilson. What was that?
Yeah.
Last summer? Right?
Yeah,
They hired Randy
Carlyle. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But,
no,
I mean, Tippett, the thing with Tippett, which would be great for us, is he's a very good special teams coach.
Right.
And he's a very good coach. I mean, he was in Dallas a long time, I think 6 or 7 seasons. He won back-to-back 50 games.
I think they hit 100 points quite a couple of times.
Yeah. I mean, Lindy Ruff, I don't understand why people want Lindy Ruff. I mean, he's John Tortorella 2.0. Really,
Lindy Ruff doesn't excite me.
No, not at all, actually. I don't care. I don't buy any of this nonsense. Oh, well, he was a Ranger. Who cares? Who wasn't?
He's a Ranger for a half hour.
My friend tells me names in the coma years, which I classify as 1990, 2000 to 2004, and he'll name guys, and I'll be like, we had that guy? He's like, yeah, twice. He's like, we had the Dana, Zeger. I'm like, what?
Zeger, yep.
He's like, yeah. And Tony Cesolino.
Normand Rochefort.
Oh, please. But anyway, in terms of Alain Vigneault, not really a player's coach. He tends to keep his distance from players a lot. He's not a big talker. He's kind of a standoff coach, you know. So there's a lot of guys, you know, Mark Crawford, I'm not a big fan of that. Paul Maurice, not so much. I'm with you, Eddie. If you know, Dave Tippett does not get re-signed, you know, and Saber didn't say today that, you know, he has to have a coach in place. He said he'd like to have a coach in place by the draft. But with our connection with Phoenix, if Don Maloney is a straight shooter and tells Saber, hey, look, we're not going to be able to get anything done here, he's free to talk to you, then, you know, I could see that happening, absolutely.
You know who I like as an outside dark horse? Larry Robinson.
Yeah, although I was reading today somewhere about Larry Robinson. He's very, very content being an assistant coach. So who knows if he even wants a head coaching gig.
Yeah, I mean, he would be a solid citizen in there and give us some, he's a solid guy and a well-respected guy. But
James Patrick's going to get a shot somewhere. I mean, he was assistant coach for a very, very long time. He actually coached them a few games. Remember last year when Ruff got hit with it. He broke his
right
rib. Remember?
I think James is qualified to be at least assistant coach and help that power play.
Yeah.
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 So, all right,
anyway,
Joe.
I figured I'd chime in. Yeah, boys. Have a good
all
night.
Take care.
Jim.
You want me to leave you on hold?
Keep me on hold, Jim.
Will do.
Jim.
Yep. All right.
Jim.
Eddie.
All right, we're moving. We're going to rapid-fire these calls here because we're starting to run out of time. 516-859, you're on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Who's this?
It's Eric from Five Hole.
Eric, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys?
Hey, good. Eric,
how are you?
Are you rejoicing?
Well,
are you half of the bag?
What was that?
Are you rejoicing? Are you half in the bag?
Well, I recently soured on Tortorella about a week ago. I actually spoke to Jim on Facebook about this. And I joined in with the crowd that wanted Tortorella gone. And the tipping point for me was when he said something about along the lines of, you know, I really should have given McDonough more of a shot on the power play. And this Kreider kid is actually pretty good. And everyone and all of us are sitting here like, hello, what the fuck is wrong with you? Sorry.
Curse all you want. We do.
Okay. Well, for who I would like to replace Tortorella, Crawford, no. Definitely not. There's a reason he's coaching in Europe. I just want to point that out. I mean, good NHL coaches, if they get fired,
that's cracking jokes.
Alain Vigneault, I think he also ran out of time in Vancouver. There wasn't much more that team could do. I think they hit their ceiling. So I would give him a shot. Dave Tippett, if he's not signing in Phoenix again, then definitely give him a shot. He did a lot with that Coyotes team. They definitely overachieved under him. But I definitely would not go after Crawford or Lindy Ruff for whatever his name is, I forget. But I just feel like he'd be more of the same as Tortorella. So, yeah.
Yeah, well,
pretty much all I have to say. Aside from the fact that Tortorella gets fired and the Mets suddenly put up 8 runs against the Yankees, is that a coincidence?
the Mets are, what's it, 8-3 now, I think, in the top of the 7th?
Yeah, the Yankees are clawing their way back. I wouldn't surprise me if they came back and tied it.
Yeah, really. Yeah. All right, Eric, well, thank you for calling in. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Take care,
night, Eric.
Take care.
Can't believe it took Eric,
four years.
The playoffs. Yeah, 4 years to dislike Tortorella. He was like the last guy.
Oh, I thought you meant to call in.
Oh.
It took him 4 years to call in.
Oh, well, that too.
850-591. You're on Blue Shirt Underground Radio.
Hey, guys, this is Rudy calling.
Hey, Rudy.
I agree with pretty much everybody's assessment as far as John Tortorella being fired. For me, it got so bad that I started sleeping watching Ranger games. It was pathetic.
So you were falling asleep.
Yeah, I fell asleep. I think it was the only time that I woke up was either when the Rangers scored or when Pierre Maguire, which I know not everybody likes him, when he started ranting and raving about the Rangers' power play. That's when I knew that it was his time to go. When you have a guy that not too many people like as an analyst basically say your power play sucks.
You're right, Rudy, because, I was thinking to myself, they're watching these games. They must watch the replays. And you have basically an analyst saying they're freelancing out there. It's oh solo mio. I mean, it's got to be embarrassing. And for fans like you, I never agreed. I mean, Maguire used to annoy the hell out of me. But when he said that, I was like, he's just clean the slate. I said, he's saying what all of us fans are thinking.
Yeah, and I know you brought up Larry Robinson as a head coach. That was one of the coaches that I had in the back of my mind. Was if he wanted to get back into being back a head coach, that would be a guy to consider if Tippett wasn't available. Because I mean he's been successful as far as head coach, especially with the Devils. But that would be a guy to look at least a dark horse.
I think so. I mean, he's just so respected. He's a stand-up guy. He will represent the organization, and he's got the pedigree. So that's what I want. But he maybe just be happy as an assistant coach at this juncture. We'll see. But I think that's a good choice.
I didn't realize Rudy's in our Facebook group, but he's in the Facebook group. He's Rudolph.
Yeah.
Huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad you called in. It's great to see all these new people calling in just to say how much they wanted Tortorella fired and how happy this makes them.
This is my first time calling into the show, but I've normally been contributing to Sports City Chefs, but I've just been keeping a low profile for the moment, mainly because I've just been watching so much hockey. So.
And falling asleep, which both of us have been doing. I mean, especially during those power plays, you can take a 2-minute nap. I mean, it's great.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, especially after watching, especially after playing. I think it was one game I was really tuning in was a Montreal game early in the season, and oh my gosh, it was brutal. It was brutal.
Yeah, I think I remember that.
All right, Rudy. Well, listen, thank you for calling in, and I hope you'll call in again.
All right, no problem.
Take care, Rudy.
Take care.
All right, that was Rudy. We got time for one more phone call. I'm sorry, guys, we're going to run out of time tonight. I gotta split when the show's over, and we're almost out of time anyway. So our last call of the night, I know this number's been holding for a long time, and he's vacuuming, whoever it is. 570-730, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Chris Alicata. In the Facebook group and stuff.
Oh, hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm hanging in there. I'm actually up in Boston, so I had to deal with all that stuff during the series to the point where I didn't even watch the games anymore. It's like I was working. I was like, forget this. I don't want to watch it. That was about game three when I stopped. I was just like, forget it. I'm just going to work.
Well, you made the right choice.
Yeah.
You made the right choice. Especially being in Boston. I quickly, I'll tell you, I really gave it to those Boston fans in Game 4. I got all of it out. Thank God. Or I'd be in the loony bin. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, I'm with you. I think the dark horse may be a guy like Guy Boucher that may get a look. I don't know if I want Tippett. I mean, that's one guy that I'm not really sure on. I mean, they struggled offensively. I don't know if it had to do with the fact that they had Ray Whitney and Shane Doan holding down their offense.
I think
might have something to do with it.
I mean, but Guy Boucher is someone that I would really like to have. I mean, he had no defense and no goaltending when Dwayne Rolison's, you know, the best goalie you've had under your, you know,
right.
by your coaching. That's kind of a not a good sign.
Let me give you a name before we go to the podcast. The chat room can discuss it. How about Tony Granato? Good night, everybody.
Never.
No, not Tony Granato?
He's a disaster. He sucks.
Why does he suck? Has he been anybody's head coach?
Yeah.
Who's he head coach?
Wasn't he the Avalanche?
Granato?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
I think he's just been an assistant. I'm looking.
Yeah, I think he's just been an assistant.
Oh, wait a minute. Maybe he was coach of the Kings? Former head coach and assistant coach of the Avalanche.
He was coaching the Kings.
Yeah, the Avalanche. How dare you? He's 32-45.
Yeah, but they started off 32-11 under Granato.
They were 32-11.
32-11-8. What's wrong with Granato?
He was
offensive
32
guy, speedy, up tempo.
What are you looking at? You see his last year? 32-45 his last year as a coach.
Well, it was in Colorado. They were terrible. They're a bad team.
I don't want him.
All right. All right. What about Tony Amato?
How about John
DeRanger?
What about Tony
DeRanger?
What about Tony McKegney?
How about Scott Gordon? His name is being thrown around. How about Mark Messier? No, I don't.
Nah, they're going to go with someone who's had some proven track record. They're not going to, especially at this point.
If they hire
Mark
Messier as coach, I'm done. I'm done. I'm taking a sabbatical.
Yeah, I think so, too.
But a crony choice.
I feel like we should do another show because I feel like there's still stuff we haven't touched on.
Yeah, maybe we should. I don't know. What's today? Today's Wednesday. I don't know. Maybe over the weekend or something to see what's cooking.
All right. What else we got? Maybe Bella Bell will become the...
All right. Good night, everybody.
Well, one thing's good. May not have to see Brian Boyle on the power play anymore.
Well, that's what I wanted. You know, that's why you can do a whole other show on how this affects the players that were...
Trickle-down effect.
Exactly. I mean, what does this mean for, you know, Derek Dorsett, who was like, you know, oh, I wish everybody could play like Derek Dorsett. Well, what does this mean? Like, you know, like you said, Boyle and Pyatt and all those Darryl Powell and all these guys that he seemed to love and Dan Girardi on the power play, although he got two power play goals in the playoffs. I don't know how that happened. But
tell you what, though, I'm with Jim. I think Richard gets another year.
Oh, never. I quit the show.
He gets another year under a different coach.
Wow. This guy's done. So done.
He sucks. Don't get me wrong, but I think they give him the benefit of the doubt.
All right, my brother. We've got
all right,
to go.
Take care.
Yep.
Thank
it easy, boys.
Good night, everybody.
Sound like a